Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. Pisa, a.k.a. TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. Pisa, a.k.a. TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. Pisa, a.k.a. TF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Enter to the street, so we know just what is needed. Underground, staying down cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. edible. It's the incredible. PZAKTM dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary sadness, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture, where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL. This is the Riding Dirty Show. We bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. Man, I want to say thank you to everybody that's tuned in, checked in on Facebook Live. One time for everybody that checks us out on all streaming platforms, whether it's iTunes, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Spotify. If you check out the Riding Dirty Show on demand on all your favorite streaming platforms, I want to say salute to you. Thank you, guys. Without no you, there would be no us. All right, now y'all know what this is. This is the platform we give the voice to the voiceless. This is the platform that gives artists the opportunity to give anybody in this world that's changing the world through philanthropism, through just doing good deeds, whether you're a damn good person, whether it's your music, whether it's your art, whether it's your entertainment, but you are in position to help change the world, this is the platform for you to tell your story. And today is no different than any other day on the Riding Dirty platform. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the show, my homie, my partner, my compadre, Vinicius Goddamn. What's going on, my G?
Yeah, I'm up, man. The cooling right now is good.
What up, what up, what up? All right, now the first thing I want to do, and I got to do, because I do this for every person who graces this platform, is I want to say thank you. I'm extremely humbled to have you on the platform, to give you the opportunity to tell your story to our friends and family, because we ain't got no fans over here. Everybody is friends and family.
So?
All right. So, look, first thing I need you to do is loosen up, my G. You're going to have to loosen up. Loosen up the collar. Loosen up the collar. And we finna take these people on a journey in the life of Finesse Goddamn. The first thing I want to ask you, and I want you to let the people know, is where is Finesse Goddamn from?
So I'm really from Griffin, Georgia. I mean, really
right,
not.
Say,
honestly, though, I lived in Griffin, Georgia for a long time, but I'm really from Pike County, but I was born in Vietnam, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. All right, so I like to ask people when they have that story, where did you last attend? You know what? No, let's say this. What area knows your dirtiest secrets?
Shit, I don't know. I try to keep that out of the way anyway. But shit, I really say Griffin, honestly.
Okay, all right. So being from Griffin, Georgia, because Griffin, Georgia, a lot of people, quiet as hell, a lot of people don't realize how much talent is Griffin. First and foremost, when it comes to radius and population, and this is not about music, but Griffin, Georgia has put more people in the NFL than any county in the United States. Spalding County has put more people in the National Football League than any other county in the United States history. So Griffin has talent upon talent upon talent. Matter of fact, last year there was a list floating around of 50 greatest rappers in Griffin, Georgia, and most people were shocked that Griffin even had 50 rappers. So Griffin has tons and tons of talent.
Definitely got more than 50, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. So look, Finesse Goddamn, Griffin, Georgia, let's talk about your story. When did you realize that you love this thing called hip-hop, this thing called rap?
See, I think I was about like maybe just turned 14. I really just listened to like Ace Hood and stuff like that. Cause I was really making like metal music and stuff like that, and I already got into some other stuff that got me away from, I guess, playing music like that. But then I just started seeing outlets of this rap stuff. It just really made me feel like I could tell my story best through this. You know, I could really reach people better through this platform and still bring what I got to offer to. I'd probably say like when I'm about 14.
Okay, now you say initially you was playing metal?
Yeah, like I played in a rock band. We wrote like metal songs, you know, heavy metal, like thrash metal, like Megadeth, Metallica, stuff like that.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. That is a big stretch from hip-hop.
Yeah, I know it.
So, were you initially a fan of metal music before you got into this band, or was it just something you realized that you had talent to do?
I mean, I just grew up around it, really. Like, I grew up around music like that. I grew up around all kinds of music, but predominantly, like, that's what I was hearing, which is, like, rock, old 80s stuff.
Okay, no doubt, no doubt. So, you're in this metal band, but for some reason you're resonating with hip-hop. When did you, in the band, what position did you play with the lead? Singer, guitarist, drummer? What were you in the band?
I sang and I played guitar.
Okay. Now, when did you go from being a singer, a vocalist, to being a rapper? Like, there definitely has to be a different process when it comes to writing rap lyrics as opposed to writing lyrics to a metal song.
I mean, yeah, most definitely. But I'd say, like, that's probably, I mean, I was started messing around with it a little bit, like a year and a half later. But when I was 16, I started, like, getting real serious with it. But it really wasn't that bad of a transition because I feel like I just know music. Like, it's really just a part of me. Like, our music at the end of the day, it just sometimes translated different to the genre.
And now, you said it wasn't that hard of a transition for you. What was the transition like when it came to your friends and family?
I mean, what do you mean by that?
Okay, you're in a metal band. All of a sudden, you want to rap. How do the people in the metal band look at it? Like, or do they like, man, hold on, bro. You finna leave this thing to go do that thing? Or were they also supportive of rap?
They were supportive, but it was so damn hard to get us all in the same room anyway. Like, they were going to support it anyway because I think everybody just kind of said, like, this shit wasn't the same as it used to be. It's a whole lot different than you and your little rap team or whatever, your producer, your engineer, all link up in the room together. That's easier. That's easier than trying to get, like, 8 people plus your engineer. You know what I mean? It's just
no doubt.
It's a whole lot more to be in a band than being an artist. But they support my dudes.
Okay, now,
at first, but she support anything I do.
Okay, now, speaking of my dudes, so was your mother more into metal music, rock music than she was into rap?
She definitely like rock music. Some old, she like this one old country artist, but other than that, she really just like rock music. She like Kid Rock.
Okay. All right, now, before we go any farther, because I want everybody to know, tell the world how old you are, because you're really young.
Let's see, I'm 19.
19 years old. Now, let me tell you this, and I'm moving forward. What actually put you on my radar was your work ethic. Like, you have a real serious work ethic when it comes to releasing music. Like, I kept saying, Finesse Goddamn, Finesse Goddamn, Finesse Goddamn. So, you leave this metal band, and you decided to rap. What was that transition like when it comes to finding beats and actually constructing 16 bars?
Well, I mean, really, I was just looking for something that had hard 808 to match the guitar because I just like that heavy, distorted sound. But I mean, my style's done. Like, I had to really find myself on the rap. Like, I had to find myself on the track differently than I had to find myself in the middle. You know what I mean? So I was really just looking for something that's still going to rock out the same way, but still be melodic.
All right. Now, something that's very, very important in this thing we call hip-hop is your name. How did that name, Finesse Goddamn, come about? How did that name come about?
I mean, really, bro, I used to steal a whole lot. But, I mean, I like to say that it came about as, like, music is my finesse. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter what it is. Music is my finesse and how I'm going to get my bag and how I'm going to prevail with my life.
All right. Now, as you're starting to pursue, you got to sit down, you got to write, you got to create a song. Do you remember that very first time you went into the studio and recorded and actually let people hear it?
Yeah, it released on my first EP. It's called Get Silly.
Get Silly.
Get Silly, yo. That was my first song ever in a real studio.
What was the concept of the song, and how did you feel when you first went in that studio as a rapper?
Man, I felt like it was like a euphoric feeling. Like, it definitely is like something you ain't never witnessed before, but it's so basic. That's what be crazy. But it's not really basic. But as in, like, what the song about? See, that's just what I was on about then. Like, I was just crunk, doing everything I wasn't supposed to be doing, but I was trying to get some money. I just really wanted to pop it and just show these folks I was here. Like, this is me. Y'all can't get rid of me.
No doubt. Now, how did your family and friends feel when they actually heard it?
Surprised. I don't think they thought I was gonna get where I was with it. Like, even at the beginning of it, cause still, like, that song's a good song. Like, you could tell there's a whole lot of just rapping. Cause I was just ready to get on the mic, but this is a song.
Okay. All right. Now, did you really? Because you said this actually went on your first EP. Now, I know in order to be a MC, to be a rapper, you got to find beats. Like, where did you find the beat for this record?
I ain't no cap. I found a YouTube producer and locked in with him today. But it was a mod beat type beat, like something that I don't normally even get on.
So what made you pick this beat?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded grunge. Like, I just like to, I feel like I could just get on that track and just slide on it. I like the way it was hitting.
Gotcha. All right, now, you got a song in hand. You got people that are supporting you. You actually got a producer you feel comfortable working with. What was next for you?
You said what?
What was next for you? You got all these things in place, and you say that song went on your first EP. So how long did it take you to build that first EP, and what was the title of that EP?
Well, the EP called Know What About, but it took me about, like, 2 weeks to record this, honestly, because I had to find another studio to go to, which is where I met T. Gutter, and that was the second studio I really got into, but there's only, like, 4 songs on there, so it didn't play too long.
Okay.
But I really just have to figure out how to down get my music out, though.
Okay. Now, as an independent artist, and I speak to almost everybody about this, marketing and promotion is one of the most complicated parts of this thing we call hip-hop. What is your journey in marketing and promotion been like? Has it been easy for you to market and promote, or has that been a complicated part?
This has been complicated. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of the stuff we listed on, because I know there's definitely more to it. So I'm just say I'm battling with it. But I'm still doing what I can with the resources I got and trying to learn as much as I can every day.
Okay. Now, the one thing I know in being an independent artist, being an independent anything, even in having an independent business, you have to create a customer, and you have to give the customer something to come back to. There's no different. McDonald's, the first time they start selling those McDonald's hamburgers, they had to figure out a concept, a ingredient, or a recipe to give to the consumer to make them come back. What do you, as a business, have to offer to listening consumers that will make them come back to Finesse Goddamn?
I mean, I got all sorts of music. Like, I got the music that's going to let you know, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff people go through, and they just be feeling like, damn, but, like, I don't know, some people just feel like they're the only one, like, hopeless type. But, like, songs sometimes can let you know, like, there's somebody else out there going through that same shit with you. But also, I got that same music that can crunk you up on any bad day, have you jumping off the couch. So I guess really it's just like my music kind of like the comfort and for people to relate to.
Okay, now, you mentioned going through some stuff. And I know you actually have really been through some things in life. You lost your mother and your grandmother. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there might be people out here who are dealing with that or had to deal with that. Let's talk a little bit about losing those two people so closely.
All right,
so first and foremost, what was the time span in those two family members leaving your life?
I mean, I lost them about a week apart, but that's probably about, like, I'm gonna say about 3, going on 4. Nah,
apart,
it ain't been that long yet.
But you lost your mother and your grandmother. So you lost your mother and your grandmother when you were like 16.
No, that's what I'm saying. It really been, I was 17.
Okay. All right. And they passed like 3 to 4 days apart?
Yeah. 4 days.
Okay, now, how were you, as a 17-year-old, able to mentally hold it together?
To be honest, I don't know. Because I damn near went off the edge. I ain't going to call. But really, just the fact that I know that they wanted to see me keep going and better myself no matter what happened. And they really is with me, no matter how hard it was to understand. Like, they really is with me and giving me power every day to go through what I go through. I guess I'll do it for them.
Okay, now, can you remember, like, some very valuable lessons that your mother and your grandmother instilled in you that you're able to apply today, especially when it comes to dealing with this type of tragedy?
Yeah. It'd just be a lot of stuff that I just kind of, like, know as I'm going through it. And I don't know. A lot of it be stuff that my mama told me when I was young. But there'll be a lot of stuff that I didn't even know, but I feel like I have a better understanding because she helps me understand it.
Okay. All right, do you have siblings? Like, do you have brothers, sisters that you were able to lean on, especially at this emotional time in your life at a young age?
No, I ain't got no siblings. I mean, I ain't got no blood siblings.
Okay, gotcha. So this was a situation you pretty much had to deal with on your own.
Yep.
Man, my condolences to you. Like, you're definitely an inspiration and to a lot of people, because I know, you know, my mother is still with me and I don't even know how I'm going to be able to deal with that if it comes before I transition. So I can't imagine having to deal with it at 17. How has the loss of your mother and your grandmother, how has that transitioned into your music? Because I know there are a lot of people that's going to want to hear that in your music.
I mean, shit, I'm not in the song that I've released lately. Well, no, I mean, you listen, like, I definitely still talk about my mom and a lot of those songs. But and out of everything that I've been making lately, I damn near talk about an era song. But really, it just make me want to go harder. It just make me want to really, like, fulfill the way I know I'm going to be.
Now, as an independent artist, what has been, at this moment in your life, hold on, let me rewind, because like I said, you work really, really hard. How many bodies of work have you released at this point in your life?
I've got about like 80, 82 give or take songs released right now.
You've actually released at least 80 songs on streaming platforms.
Yeah, most definitely 80. I know 80 for a fact.
So people can type in Finesse God Dan on Spotify
and go listen to 80 single songs.
Bro, that's why I say when I found you, that work ethic and that body of work is what made me say, like, man, this young guy is grounded. When I found out you was 19, I realized, like, man, this is insane. Because your work ethic is kicking the ass of a lot of artists double your age.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, as an artist and as an independent artist, right now, what would be the most, if you had to say this is the proudest moment I've had as an independent artist, what would that be?
Honestly, I feel like my proudest moment, really just one, just seeing folks, like, giving reaction, actually, like, showing support, like, folks I don't know. Just folks actually showing love that ain't in my circle. But really, I feel like I got a trophy when I shot my first music video.
Okay. What was that first music video?
It called Know What About.
Okay.
It's off that same EP to Get Silly On.
Okay. And that was a super proud moment for you.
Yeah, really, though, because that was just a good day all in all. And I ain't never got to see myself in a music video until that day.
Yeah, you remember who shot that video for you?
Yeah, L.A. Pogo Film.
Okay, no doubt. All right, let's because I'm going to let you run. Let's move up to what's going on now. You just released a brand new record, which is a tribute to your mother. What's the name of the record?
It's called Wish You Knew.
And what's the concept of the record and who produced it?
The concept of it really just like some things I guess I wish I could have did different. They're really kind of like a letter to my mom type shit. But I had to go back and find the producer name. I really don't know the name of the producer because a lot of times I'll just go and talk to these people on YouTube and just figure out something we're doing.
Okay.
But the concept is really just a letter to my dudes.
All right. Do you foresee yourself shooting a video for it?
Most definitely. I'm just trying to figure out where and when.
All right. Definitely. All right. Now, before I let you go, as an independent artist, what has been one of the most complicated hurdles for you to overcome?
Probably the marketing strategy that I'm not seeing out the right way, honestly. Just all that
marketing
little stuff that I said I'll miss, like, I feel like that's what's holding me back.
Okay. All right. So do you feel like every day you're learning something different, or you feel like sometimes it's like slow motion?
With the marketing, sometimes slow motion, but with music, I'm always learning something. I'm always touching it at least once a day. Like, I'm either making a beat or I'm rapping. I figure out something. Or it's with the engineering stuff.
All right. No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. All right. Before I let you go, because we know, and we talked about marketing and promotion, we know we live in an era that social media is king. Social media is everything. How can the people find you on social media?
HZ.FinesseGodDan at Instagram. On Facebook, it's just HZ Finesse.
All right. Is there a TikTok and a Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I got a TikTok. I don't have a Twitter. I believe the TikTok is the same thing as my Instagram, though. Nah, yeah, it's the same thing as my Instagram without the dots.
Gotcha. All right, now, before I let you go, tell them the name of the single one more time and where they can check it out at.
Name of the single, Wish You Knew. It's on all platforms, Napster. You can even go make a TikTok to it, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, anything. It's called Wish You Knew.
All right, Dan. Appreciate you, my G.
No problem. Appreciate you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's the homie, Finesse Goddamn. Y'all make sure y'all check out all your favorite streaming platforms and download that Wish You Knew. All right, it's your kid. It's your boy, Think XL, Riding Dirty Radio. Till next time, y'all, stay blessed, stay strong, and I promise you, you will not go wrong. Peace.
Recording in progress. Recording stopped.
Recording in progress.
But we're back again. It is the Country Rap Report. Yours truly, Vic XL. Now, y'all know what we do right here on the Country Rap Report. You're going to get the latest in country rap reviews. We review some of the best and worst songs in the genre. We also give you news via our shorts, as well as we give you interviews with some of the movers and the shakers in the genre of country rap, whether newcomers or those who are definitely established. But definitely Country Rap Report is the place to be, the place to make it happen. All right, so this episode is no different than any other episode of the show. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have a very, very special guest, and we're going to get into it. Let me get him brought up right now. Now, while we're waiting for him to come, y'all make sure y'all follow Country Rap Report on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you comment. Make sure you share. All right, again, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you comment and make sure you share. All right, sharing is caring. All right, please, please, please make sure you let everybody know about the Country Rap Report. We're still out here doing our thing on these YouTube dirt roads. All right, now I'm waiting for my guest to come up, and it seems like we have him here. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Country Rap Report, my G6B Low. What's going on, my guy?
Hey, what's up with you, man? How you doing?
Man, I am sitting here sipping on me a little Bird Dog whiskey. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In my dad cup, and I'm man, just trying to enjoy life. So look, man, let's get into it, because I got these hot-ass lights on myself. first and foremost, before I go any further, I'm very, very humbled, and it's my honor and pleasure to have you here on the platform.
Yeah, same likewise, brother.
Okay.
I appreciate you having me on here, man.
All right, now, you are a buck wild mother. So now, you ain't going to be all laid back and cool, because I'm kind of wild. I like to get loose. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna stir it up a little bit. Where is 6 Below from?
I am from Deltona, Florida.
You know, I have noticed for some reason, Florida has a major influx in country rappers. Why are so many of y'all in Florida?
Man, I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
I've been in Ohio for the last 7-8 years now.
Okay.
But I mean, the way I was raised, I mean, my dad, the most redneck dude you'd ever meet. you know, and we was always hunting, fishing, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, you know, all that stuff. And that's just the way that I was raised, man, you know, but I liked rap music. I love Eminem, and, you know, I listen to Lil Wayne a lot, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, you know, all that stuff. So that's just pretty much, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know why that's where it's at. It's Florida, but, I mean, Florida's just the place to be, I guess.
Oh, okay, so you mentioned being raised by one of the most redneck fathers.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into hip-hop?
Honestly, man, I kind of, like, I did all that stuff, but I wasn't, like, my dad always wanted me to, like, be that country boy, you know what I'm saying, dressed like a country boy, and I had swag, you know what I'm saying, I wanted to look good and wear my J's and my Air Force, you know what I'm saying, so that's, I mean, I kind of, that's just the culture that I was, because my mom and dad weren't together like that, and really, my grandparents, like, my mom was there, but she was young when she had me, so my grandparents, like, raised me primarily, you know what I'm saying, so, like, they pretty much, if that's what I wanted, you know, my grandma was like, okay, well, whatever, if that's what kind of shoes you want, then I'll get you what kind of shoes, you know.
Okay.
So, and then, I mean, also, like, primarily, like, the people that, like, where I grew up in Deltona is primarily, like, Hispanic or black, like, white people were kind of the minority, mm-hmm. a little bit, like, in my high school. So I grew up, you know, like, all my friends were black, you know, and I spent a lot of time chilling with my dudes at the lunch table rapping and freestyling, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So I guess that's just a combination of all of that and Eminem and, you know, just being a, you know, a young adolescent that didn't really have a care in the world, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I just like the music, you know, but
at what point did you go from being a fan? Because me, I've always liked the music. But never did I decide to, you know, one time I did. I got out of band and I started writing the most dumbest shit ever. At what point did you go from being a fan to realizing you had a skill set?
Well, when I was in fifth grade, actually, I wrote a song. They had a songwriting contest at school. And I wrote this song, and it was about my mom. And I had one of these girls in my school. She was, like, a really good singer in choir and all that. And I was like, hey, would you mind singing this song? And then the music teacher actually, like, you know, played the piano and laid down a whole track for this song. You know, I'm 10 years old, and this song ended up going and getting second place in the whole state of Florida.
Oh.
So, like, at that point, I was kind of like, okay, well, I know how to write poetry, and, you know, that's kind of what I was doing, was just writing poetry and kind of, you know, putting my thoughts down on paper, you know what I mean? And then when I was 17, one of the, like, coolest kids that our friend group had ended up passing away, and it kind of inspired me to, like, make a song about him. And, you know, then I made a couple other songs because my friends were like, oh, you know, you're good, you should keep doing it. And, I mean, I was doing it on, like, a little computer microphone, bro. Like, you know what I mean? The little stand-up old-school computer microphones, not even anything special, but I messed around with it. And then I kind of just, like, didn't really do anything with it after that. You know, I was just a kid. And then I really picked it back up heavy in, like, the midst of COVID, like, 2021. Was when I really got, like, serious with it.
All right. Now, from the time you recorded that song to, say, the time you took the break and then picked it back up, have you always been called Six Below?
No.
What was your original rap name?
It was actually just B. Mullins.
Okay.
You know, like, technically I got two last names, you know, my full legal name, whatever. But all my friends called me by Mullins, and it was just B. Mullins, you know what I mean? So I went by that for, like, ever as a kid, you know, in high school and everything like that. And then at first when I was about to release On the Run, which was my very first song I ever actually released on, you know, a distribution platform or anything like that. That was back in April of 2021. And I was like, all right, man, I need to figure out a good name, you know, a good stage name. Like, what is it going to be? Because B. Mullins ain't, you know, that's little kid stuff, right? So I ended up, and I mean, no hate, because it works for some people's names, right? Like,
right.
You know, but just for me, it didn't work. It didn't fit the image or anything like that. So now my other last name is Lowe.
Mo?
Lowe.
Okay.
L-O-W-E.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I was talking to my dad, and I'm like, you know, now, because I started school at the Los Angeles Film School on Fox to learn how to, like, mix and master and do my own production and everything like that. So whenever I had this song, I'm like, well, Dad, I think I really want to take this seriously, you know, like, but I need to come up with a name. And he was like, well, I don't like B. Mullins because whenever one of these days you're going to go out on stage and I'm going to have to tell one of my buddies, oh, yeah, there's my son, and he's coming out, and they're saying, B. Mullins, and he's like, well, dude, your last name is Lowe. How's that, your son? You know what I'm saying? So my dad was like, pretty much, he's like, dude, you know, and I'm like, well, how about this, man, B. Lowe, right? B. Lowe, and I was thinking, like, and he was like, what about a six? Six below, I'll put you six below in the ground, and I'm like, there it is, dude. That's it, you know. And
so this super, this what you call super redneck father, basically came up with your rap name.
Yeah, man. Because I mean, my dad, like,
that's dope, though.
Wrong, man. My dad's a redneck, right? But he's the one that put me on Eminem and Dr. Dre. I remember, you know, being what, like, 6 years old when the Chronic album came out, and we was bumping that. And you know, my dad's sitting there, he turns his hat sideways. I mean, everybody went and thought, you guys have to say, you know what I mean? Right. Like, but that's just, my dad was, man. But we, you know, we did all that good old country boy shit, you know
right.
what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it was definitely a big influence for my dad on the name, for sure. And definitely, you know, like I said, I wanted him to feel like, you know, he's proud of saying, damn, that's my son going out there.
All right.
You know?
I have to ask, how did your family feel about you wanting to be a rapper?
Well, my mom has always been super supportive of everything. Anything that I ever want to do, she's got my back. Love my mom to death for that. But, like, a lot of times, because when I moved up to Ohio, I met my dude, Cody, and he's also a rapper. He goes by the name C. Razy. And me and him would, like, be at parties, you know what I'm saying? And we would just start freestyling. He would start freestyling. Really, mainly, he would be the one freestyling. And then I kind of got a little bit more comfortable. And I came up in there, and I would start singing these hooks, right? Like, he'd be rapping, whatever, and then I'd sing some hooks, and then I could drop, like, maybe a good little 8-bar freestyle, but I'm not the best freestyler in the world. And my wife, that's actually how I met my wife, was through Cody. And she always thought it was cool, like, when we would get together and just how we would collaborate, you know what I mean? And, man, we made probably so many damn hit songs that we just didn't record. You know what I mean? Like, it's always those ones that you're just in the moment, vibing out. And one day, me and him were freestyling in the car, man, and we were just like, dude, let's do something about it, right? Like, we got talent. Why don't we just use it? Never, like, all of our friends were like, yo, we all need to try to do music. So it was a collective thing, people just being around us, knowing that, you know, when I would come in singing like that, mainly is what it was. And then also me, like, doing karaoke, because I ran a DJ karaoke company for a couple years.
So you know how to DJ?
No, not like Papa Fresh can DJ, nothing right. like that, no. But I don't scratch or nothing, but...
You know how to keep the party going.
No, I did DJ weddings, though. Like, okay. You know, I got a little Pioneer board, and I would, like, you know, switch the music over, fade it in and out kind of thing like that. But see, me and you never really got to actually talk. You know, I did that song with Pop Off Fresh.
Right. Friday night.
You did, Friday night with the funny finger animated dudes, right? And you did the review on that. And then, yeah, I mean, it's been kind of like a, hey, what's up, and you're live, whatever. But I see, you know, like you got this right behind you. Them plaques back there. Now that's Wobble Baby, right?
Yeah.
So you are the one that made that. That's your
No,
song.
No.
You produced it?
I discovered him.
Okay.
I am a retired manager. I'm a retired radio host, retired manager turned YouTuber.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
but so my history in traditional hip hop is pretty long, especially when it comes to Atlanta. You know, I've worked with T.I. I was his first publicist. Worked with Yin Yang Twin. I mean, basically, I've worked with two labels, but I have a very long line of being in this business. And I always enjoy country rap. When I was doing my FM radio show, I would get country rap songs. They'd be far in between, but every time I get them, I made sure I played them on my show, because the show I had was an overnight show, and I was able to program whatever music I wanted to play myself. So I always liked country rap, and I've always been a behind-the-scenes music business guy. Never wrote a rap, never made a beat, but I've always done shows. Like, I put on shows. I do consulting and artist management and development.
Okay.
My passion is talking to artists.
Yeah.
I love talking to artists and building strong bonds and you know, connecting the dots. This person meets that person. Like, that's my passion, being able to help people, put them in the proper place.
Well, you're always, I mean, I tune into your lives a lot. You're always putting free game out there for people, right? Like, I heard it from you about 3 months ago. Like, yo, if you're an up-and-coming artist, you need to be hitting up Creaker Mariah. You need to be hitting up Kenny Reacts. You need to be hitting up this person. So what did I do? Okay, I didn't know them, but did I hit them up? Hell yeah, because I got someone that, with a proven track record, you know, giving me advice. And that's, like, the biggest thing, you know, like, I got some good mentors, you know, and I feel like that's what's really helped me progress as quickly as I have.
You're definitely... first of all, your sound is dope. Your sound is really, really dope. And, you know, I don't know if that comes from your love for the Eminem and listening to that stuff early on, but bro, you have a very polished sound that I really like. When I looked at your discography, and it seemed like you started releasing stuff 2021, 2022. By listening to you, when I went to your discography, I expected to see releases from 2015. Like, you sound that polished. So I don't know if it's your mentors or who in your corner, but you came out the gate ready. And I think that's really, really dope. You came out the gate ready. When Pawpaw first sent me the Friday Night record, I'm like, man, this guy's ready. So, you know, whatever, whoever gets that credit, whether it's yourself, working with the right producers or whatever, you are definitely ready. Like, you're, like, definitely right now ready to hang with the big boys when it comes to upper echelon. Now it's just all about building your fan base, getting the people to know who Six Below is.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate that a lot, Big. That means a lot, man.
And let me say, 2 years ago, when I started the Country Rap Report, there was nobody on YouTube talking about country rap.
Right?
So as we grew, because I had a partner, Spank, as we grew, I started telling people, start a show. Turn the camera on. Country rap needs media. So a lot of these, like, Captain Kirk was in my chat. And then Kenny was in Kirk's. Like, a lot of these people came from either the Country Rap Report chat or the chat of someone who came from the Country Rap Report chat. And I'm really, really proud of that, because 2 years ago, you had reactors, but you didn't have people that was doing interviews. And I felt like, in order for these artists, okay, we hear the music, they do reactions to the music, but we need to know about them, because that's what makes you rock with an artist, when you feel like you're emotionally invested. And that's what I was telling people. Okay, y'all doing reactions, but man, let's start bringing these artists on our platform. Like, I've never done reactions. I do reviews, but I never ever implicate. Like, I've never, like, played the song, stopped it, talked about it. I review your song, and I get that link, and I want people to go to your page and check it out for themselves and formulate their own opinion. And I have nothing against reactions. I just feel like, you know, there's multiple ways to do things, and that's what separates our platforms. And I also feel like, you know, like an artist, like, artists can't be the same. So, you know, but I'm glad that there are a new breed of artists like yourself that's coming through the door polished. Because one of the problems with country rap at the beginning, people had a problem with the sound. Sonically, people felt like this is like some second string rap stuff. So now it sounds just as good as mainstream rap. Only, in my opinion, the only thing country rap is missing is radio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I have to ask, what took you, and I'm sorry, because I don't want to talk about me, I want to talk about you. What took you from Florida to Ohio? And I want to send my apologies for what my Bulldogs did to y'all. I want to apologize for that. So, you know.
Oh, man. Well, I ain't a Buckeyes fan.
Okay.
I'll put that on the record. I'm a Florida Gators fan.
Well, I want to apologize for what my Bulldogs did to y'all.
Listen, that's all good, man. I ain't worried about college.
Okay.
I honestly don't even care about football anymore. So I'm a Colts fan. I'm wearing the Colts hat, man. But
y'all need a quarterback.
We need a quarterback for sure.
We sent y'all some trash.
That's a whole nother story there. But yeah, man. Honestly, one of the biggest things I don't mind talking about, and I try to advocate for too, is if anybody listens to my first EP that I dropped, Never Ending Roads, it's all a story about what I've been through. I've been through some shit.
Let's talk about it.
My grandma died when I was 16. And like I told you earlier, she pretty much raised me. Like, she made sure I was at school every day. You know, there wasn't no skipping school because you're sick. You know, it was good grades. Like, mama didn't play. So when she passed away, my grandpa, you know, he was kind of lost. He didn't know what to do. They were married for 40 years, you know, before she passed away. And he pretty much let me do whatever I wanted. So I was out, you know, partying, just not giving a damn, you know, doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. And eventually ended up leading into drug addiction. You know, I got messed up on pills. I was messed up on pills and cocaine and drinking and just throwing my life away, really. I mean, because I was a honor student. Like, I had good grades, you know, I could have graduated early and went to college, and, you know, done all these great things that my grandma wanted me to do, but I just started throwing it away. And eventually my addictions led me into jail. And
In Florida?
Yeah, down in Florida. Yeah, I spent about 6 months in county jail. And after that, I was like, I'm going to Ohio. Like, I need to get away from all these people, all these influences, like, all my drug dealers, you know what I mean? And that's what it was. I came up here and...
Did you have family in Florida? Did you have family in Ohio, or you just done like and picked the state?
No, I had family up here.
Okay.
Yeah, I have family up here. So, yeah, I came up here and got a factory job, started working that. That's when I met my friend Cody I was telling you about. And, yeah, got my wife, and there we go.
So
I'm blessed that I went to jail. That's the biggest thing, man. Like, honestly, like, I don't think it's cool to go to jail. You know, people brag about it sometimes in their lyrics and whatever. Like, you know, it doesn't make you a badass. But I like to advocate for people. Like, look, man, I was down on my ass. And even when I came up here, man, to Ohio, I even got around some people and started doing coke. And I had an addiction with it.
Even after jail?
My wife, even after jail, yeah. Okay. But I had a good enough job to support the habit. And my wife found out, and she went the hell off. Like, she left me, you know. I mean, I was drinking all the time again, and she took off. And then after that, that's when I was like, damn, man, like, I need to get it together, you know, and I just lost my whole family over dumb shit, you know. That was like 4 years ago, and, yeah, man, ever since then, that's kind of like that whole EP, I was just kind of writing about stuff I did a while ago, you know what I mean?
Right. But, so, what would be your message to people who are battling addiction? Because being addicted to something, sometimes there are a lot of people who aren't as fortunate as you, who lost their family, and they weren't able to shake back. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, for you, the love of your wife, the love of your family made you say, this is some bullshit. But some people ain't able to shake back. What would be your words of encouragement or your words of wisdom for people who need to shake back?
Man, one thing, and the realest shit that my uncle, because my uncle's got money, he could have bonded me out of jail. You know, that's the worst feeling, sitting in county jail, having a bond, but not being able to bond out because you ain't got the money to bond out. But my uncle had the money to bond me out, and he was about to do it. But he was like, man, he needs to dry out. You know, so he made me sit in there and get clean, right?
Right.
So that's the biggest thing. Like, you just, when you go to jail, there ain't nothing you can do. You're in jail. You got to get clean. So, there is no advice I could really give anybody is other than you got to want it. You know, you got to want it for yourself more than anything.
Okay.
You know, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you don't want it for yourself, then it ain't never going to happen.
All right, before I let you run, because I try to keep these things down to 40 minutes, let's talk about Buckwild motherfucker. Or should I say Buckwild MF?
Whatever you want to say. I just say MF for the monetization purposes.
Right. Let's talk about that record. First and foremost, I got a review coming on the video. Dope video. Really, really loved it. Loved the record. In rotation on the stream.
Awesome.
What went into this record for you? Who produced it? Who shot the video? what went into it, and what did you want people to get from this record?
Yeah, man.
Because you don't seem like a buck wild motherfucker. You know, you seem like a mellow motherfucker.
Well, I'm a little bit more mellow after I worked today, and, you know, I ain't even ate my dinner yet.
Okay.
But I'm about to be going to Nashville tomorrow. I'm going to go record some music with some people down there. I got some big stuff coming for that. But
Dope. Congratulations.
About that later. Yeah, I appreciate it. But, yeah, so, man, I was just wanting a good song to, like, get the crowd hype and get, you know, people to, like, really interact and something easy for people to, like, you know, just be able to chant back with me, right? And I'm like, I need an anthem or, like, something people can get behind. Now, people that knew me back in the day, I was that person. Like, I'd be out, you know, getting in fights and just being stupid. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what I did. But I'm a little bit more mellow now with the kids these days.
That's cool, though.
But yeah, man, so that was the whole idea behind it. I got the beat from Warm Shelter. He's a pretty dope producer that I've linked up with and got a couple beats from before. Dub 3030 put the mix and master on it.
Shorty!
Yeah, and that dude, sometimes, you know, he'll send it back to you, like, a couple of different demos and, like, with some different edits, and then you'll listen and let him know, all right, you know, I want this, or this changed, or this, and this, like that. And he sent it to me that first time, and I was like, damn, dude, like, it was just fire. Like, I was like, all right, yep, cool, that's it. And we ran with it, so shout out him for that. And then Ty Wills at Staybeat Studios in Columbus, Ohio, I actually hooked up with him through Rich Regal.
Shout out Rich Regal.
Shout out Rich Regal. Ty has done a lot of Rich Regal's videos for him, and I was like, yo, we got a show this day, December 10th. And I really wanted to get, like, a video of the crowd kind of, like, chanting the song with me. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to kind of make it a music video where it's more like a live crowd feel.
Right, right, right.
And I let him hear the track, and he was like, man, he's like, bro, I got a great idea for this. Like, this is what we need to do. So got all the people together, and the next thing you know, it turned into a chase scene, and we chasing dude down, tying him up, putting a bag over his head. You know, we got the bats, the Buckwild bats, which those things, man, are, like, at my merch table, people are eating, like, people want those bats so bad, so I'm about to start putting that into my merch line, the Buckwild bats. but, yeah, so, man, shout out Ty Wills, bro, because he just had all the ideas, man. And by the end of the shoot, it was just like, we don't even need to do the crowd shot. Like, we got a whole storyline, like, pretty much here. Like, I mean, we got a lot of dope shots, a lot of dope B-rolls, you know, everything like that. So it ended up working out great, man.
Oh, man, it's real. Dope video. Before I let you run, in 2 minutes or less, tell me your definition of country rap.
Country rap, to me, is if you are rapping and your verses or your lyrics are pertaining to things that are country, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one of my bars in Buckwild, you know, Buckwild MF, that's, I said, I stay strapped like hay bales, right? I would have never thought of a bar like that if I wasn't thinking country, right?
Right,
like,
absolutely. Okay,
what's something that's strapped and it's country? You think of hay bales, you're thinking of farm or some shit, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just you're taking the flow and, you know, the timing of hip-hop, rapping, and you're using country references, right? That's pretty much my definition.
Okay. Before I let you go, let these people know, number one, where to find you over this world wide web, and let them know where they can check out the video and stream Buck Wild MF.
Yeah, I'm on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, everything, 6B.LOW, or you can check out my website, which is www.6BLOWmusic.com.